Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We glorify you, Father. We thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us tonight. We praise you, Father, that your glory walks with us. It talks with us and it shows us what you want done, Lord. And we praise you for that also. Your Holy Spirit is leading us tonight. And we're being led by the Spirit. And we thank you, Father, that your Spirit is going to be noticeable. And tonight's going to be an awesome time. Because I believe that everybody here loves everybody. And we love you, Lord. And I thank you for all that you're going to do this evening in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Lord, thank you for answering all of our prayers tonight. Because I know that when we come together, the demons shudder. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, that we are the men and women of God that has no fear because you're with us, Lord. And I praise you that you've given us dominion and authority over all the power of the enemy. And there will be no attacks of the enemy this night in this fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for bringing us all together in love. And I praise you and I glorify you for all that you're doing. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Has anybody got, what's the matter? Them boys. Oh, look at that. Ain't that special? Vanita's got her moose. Is that a moose? All right.
I don't even know what it is. Yeah, it must be. Yeah, it's a moose. Yep, it's a moose.
Okay. Man, that's awesome. All right, boys, you thought y'all had something. Look at him. Vanita's got the moose.
Can't beat him, join him.
That's right. Obadiah's got the big bison. Elisha's got the big reindeer. And Vanita's got the moose. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna have to get me one now. Anna? Oh my. That's awesome. Okay, anybody got any prayer requests? Thank you, Lord. Hey, let's pray for Pat and his family. They're busy tonight loading up and getting ready to go up to Ohio. So we'll pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I looked up Pat, our brother Pat, and his family. And we praise you, Father, for your protection upon them all the way up there and getting them back home safely and for them to have a wonderful time in you, Lord, that they would be a light to everyone that they meet up there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Pat and his family. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Joe, you coming for Thanksgiving dinner, aren't you, buddy?
I haven't got an answer from the Lord. I haven't got an answer from the Lord yet. So you're waiting.
Okay. Well, I can get the jet out there for you. You know. Oh my. One day, Joe, one day. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Testimony, praise report, a song. You know, I forgot to get me a song. Missy, find us a song, one that everybody liked, not just you. I didn't mean it that way. I meant for one that everybody likes. What's that guy's name that does that in New York, out there on the streets? What's his name? Hezekiah Walker.
Hezekiah Walker.
Yeah. That'd be a good one. Hi, Ben, or Andrew. Golly. How you doing, bud? Hey, Benjamin. Barbara, good evening.
Hello. Good
That's
evening.
it? Oh,
No,
okay.
good evening. Hi,
Okay.
everyone. Bless you all.
Bless you. Let's see here. You want me to find it? You got it? Okay. Good deal.
Do
Let me give
you want me to just tell you what it is?
Well, you can.
For me and my house by Here Be Lions.
By who?
Here Be Lions. H E R E B Lions, L I O N S.
I got Heritage Singers, me and my house.
No,
That
here be lions.
Here Be Lions. Lions. Yeah, here it is. Oh, I saw, what's his name?
Dustin Smith.
Yeah, hang on. Hang on, Dustin. I'll get right back to you, buddy. All right, let's see here. I got too much stuff open. No, I don't. Jesus' name.
For me and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. For me and my house, we're gonna worship. For me and my house, you'll get your way. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. We have set our homes apart for
with heaven's authority. We take back our destiny, cause we belong to the Lord. I speak to the enemy, you can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny, cause we belong to you. Come on, sing it again. Hey! I speak to the enemy, you can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny, cause we belong to the Lord. Yes, we belong to the Lord. For me and my house, we're gonna serve you. For me and my house, you'll get the praise. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. For me and my house, for me and my house, we're gonna worship. For me and my house, you'll give your way. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. For me, we're gonna love you always. For me and my house, we're gonna love you always. I speak to the enemy, you can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, we take back our destiny, cause we belong. Come on, I'm singing this over your families tonight. I speak to the enemy, you can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, take back our destiny, cause we belong. Come on, sing it again. Hey! I speak to the enemy, can't have my family, cause we belong to the Lord. With heaven's authority, take back our destiny, cause we belong to you. Come on, sing it again. Hey! I speak to the enemy, was a good one, Missy. You hit a home run, girl.
I like that one. I'm gonna have to get that one on the book.
Praise the Lord. I forgot it was that long. I hadn't heard it for a while.
Oh, that's okay. That's fine. I like that song. It's got some good words to it too, and it ain't got very many either. Those simple ones are the ones that are the great ones to me. Hi, Katie and Tim.
Hi.
How's it going, girl?
Really good. Blessed. My mom said hi too in the back.
Hey, Rebecca.
How are you?
Oh, we're blessed beyond our wildest dreams, girl. How about you? You blessed too. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? Right. Hi, Barry and Marilyn. And just so happens that I want to share a little something, if that's all right with y'all. Gonna take a little bit, but it ain't gonna be long. Talking about what we are in Christ. Anybody know what we are in Christ? Are you sure? All right. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you for all these wonderful words that you've given us, and I praise you for that. How many of you knew that in Christ, in whom, and in him occurs more than 130 times in the New Testament? It does. A bunch of times in Christ. And not only that, that's the heart of the revelation of the redemption that was given to Paul when he came, when he got knocked off that donkey and he went into the wilderness for a while. Then the Lord took him up, showed him a bunch of stuff. You know what the secret of faith is? I'm talking about the faith that conquers, that moves mountains. It's the secret of the Spirit's guiding us into all reality. The heart craves intimacy with the Lord Jesus and with the Father. And now it can be satisfied. Look at Ephesians 1 and 7. It says, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the remission of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And it's not some kind of low life redemption, but it's a real liberty in Christ that we've got right now. And it's a redemption by the God who could say, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens, and cause this whole heaven to be lit up with stars in a single instant. It is omnipotence beyond human reason. And that's where philosophy has never left a footprint. This redemption that we have is a miracle of his grace. It's according to the riches of his grace. And it's a present tense work wrought through Christ's blood. And it is lavish. It is abundant. And it's a perfect thing. This redemption that we have is a perfect thing. When you know it and you enter into it and your heart grows accustomed to it, there's going to be an ability in your life that you've never known. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the remission of our sins. Don't you know you're delivered out of the authority of Satan? You're free because it's in him that you got your redemption. You have been delivered out of Satan's dominion. You have been translated over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And you're free from the dominion of Satan. And the hour's going to come when everybody that calls himself a Christian is going to awaken to the fact that he can't put disease upon you, that he cannot give you pain and anguish in your body because of what you know in Christ. And the hour is going to come when all will know that loves him, that want and poverty are things of the past as far as you're concerned. And you're going to shout amid the turbulence and fear of other men, the Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. He makes me to lie down in plenty and fullness, and I am satisfied with him. Folks, this redemption is real. Satan's defeated, disease is outlawed, and our want is banished. We're free, Lord of God. John chapter 8, verse 36 said, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free in reality. That's what that word means. That word indeed means reality. John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Well, what is life? That's the nature of God. You may have the Father's nature abundantly. You are in Christ in the Father's presence. You're in the very realm of life. This realm of life has in it the life that transcends reasons. We've got eternal life. We're walking eternal people, God's very substance in us. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the reality, and the life. And what he was doing, he was unveiling his heart to showing what he can be to us every day in our daily life. He can be all that his heart of love desires to be to those whom he has redeemed. He can be reality to us. And how our hearts have all craved for this. And how many of you know he can fulfill every desire of our hearts? Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. The biggest danger of the believer is the possibility of his lapsing back into bondage after he's already been made free. He leaves the realm of the spirit and faith and walks in the realm of the flesh. And as flesh reason or sense reason gains that supremacy, he loses that joy in the Lord. Folks, we're new creations in Christ Jesus. And I believe some of us are just finding out what that can mean to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. This new creation fact gives to you all that it means to Jesus and the Father, whether you know it or not. Paul's revelation is filled with new creation truth. It is God's dream for all of us to enjoy the fullness of our new creation privileges, because the old things are passed away. They're gone. Those old things of bondage, fear, doubt, want, sickness, weakness, and failure are gone. Now, I know there's somebody out there right now saying that ain't possible, but it is. Our new creation is just like the Master Jesus, because he's its head. He's the vine and we're the branches. And as he is, so are we. John 15:1-7 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And it goes on, I am the vine, ye are the branches. But as long as you deal in doubts and fears, as long as you sit in judgment on yourself, you ain't never going to arrive. You're never going to enjoy these things that he's talking about. But if you act on the word, act on as if you would act on him talking to you personally, then you'll arrive. When you read all things have become new, start thinking of yourselves as living in that new realm. You have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. You have perfect fellowship right now with him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Well, if we're his workmanship, we ought to be satisfactory to him. He's pleased with us. Glory to God. You know, the churches have preached condemnation and come to the altar and confess your sins so long that we don't know how to preach righteousness and encourage people to tell people who they are in Christ. And when somebody does tell them, they feel like it's a false teaching. They feel that anything is false teaching. It doesn't honor sin and lift it into the place of Christ. Folks, we're God's new man. Ephesians 2 and 15 declares that he brought into being the new man, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth, that's us right now. The new creation knows but one Lord. That's Jesus is the Lord of the new creation. Colossians 2:6-7 gives us a real graphic statement of that fact. It says, as therefore ye receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We thank God for everything. And that's a great truth that he's put us under there. No longer are we weaklings. Our strength is his strength. We're so strong that we're abound in thanksgivings all around us. When we stop abounding in thanksgiving, we deteriorate, spiritually speaking. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You get out of that old prison house of bondage and fear and want and of hunger and cold, and you're out in the freedom of God, glory to God. Hebrews 7:25 is Jesus' present attitude towards you. He says, wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He lives, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And he's seated at the Father's right hand. He ever lives for us. We ought to just say that all the time. He ever lives for me. Just as the wife lives for the man whom she loved, so in a greater measure, much greater measure, the Lord Jesus lives for you and us. He's got only one business, and that's the living for us. He loves us. You know, of all the wealth that is known to the human heart, there's nothing that equals this. That Jesus declares through the Apostle Paul that we are his righteousness, and it's hard for some of us to grasp. That we are his righteousness. Just think about how precious we have to be to him. You know, he once became our righteousness. He once declared us righteous by his resurrection from the dead. And now he goes beyond the declaration and makes that a reality. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We've become the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now let's note these three facts here. He becomes our righteousness, Romans 3:26, for the showing, I say, of his righteousness at this present season, that he might himself be just and the justifier of him that hath faith in Jesus. He's made righteous for us. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We have become already the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that. Galatians 2:20. That life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He said he loved me and he gave himself up for me. That's a lot of love revealed there. He not only redeemed us and sanctified us, but now before heaven, he says, I am those people's redemption. I am that man or that woman's sanctification. And I could hear his voice rise to notes of utter triumph when he shouts, I am his righteousness and his wisdom. And that's all his work. It's not any man's works, lest he should say, I had a share in that. Your repenting, your crying and weeping had nothing to do with your righteousness or your redemption, because you stand complete in him in all the fullness of his great, matchless life. Romans 8, 33 and 34. That's the climax of the revelation of our redemption. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Folks, we're God's elect. Jesus and the Father have elected us. And now he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of my own son or my daughter? There's only one person of any standing before the Supreme Court who could lay anything to your charge, and that's Jesus. And he ain't going to do it. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. We ought to be able to look at this great and wonderful position that he's put us in. These riches of the glory of your inheritance in Christ. We're in him. All that he planned in Jesus in a heart reality is now. There ain't no condemnation for us. There's no judgment for us. There's no fear of death for us. Why? Because death is simply swinging the portals open for you to march in triumph into the presence of your Father. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. And that's why it's imperative to get rid of fear, and you do that by understanding who you are in Christ. Because in Christ we have received eternal life, the nature of our very Father. And what is that nature? It's love. That love is perfect. Our human love is imperfect. His love is agape. That's the love that makes life beautiful. Now, you may not perfectly understand or perfectly enter into it, but it is his perfect love, and it's all ours right now. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are so one with him that we are called Christ. The church is called the Christ ones. He's the vine, we're the branches. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. And as the branch is to the vine, so are we to the heart of Jesus. We are utterly one with him. And too many times we've been sitting around thinking about the sin and our weaknesses and our failings. All you need to do is hear him whisper to your heart right now from Romans 8:1. He says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Folks, if you're born again, you are in Christ. You're a conqueror. You're free from condemnation. You are the righteousness of God in him. You are the fullness of God in him. You are complete in him. The wealth of his glory, the wealth of his riches have never been sounded. You are righteous. And there's no sin consciousness for you. There's no inferiority complex for you. You are now in Christ in the very righteousness of God. And let me say this. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that overcoming power that he's given us. And you walk not in fear anymore. And you can do just like Peter did in Acts 3:5-6. and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But what Peter say? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. John 16:23-24. If you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. And then John 15:7 is ours right now. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever. I don't leave nothing out. Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. You are in him, and he is in you. His word abides in you. You are his righteousness, and you're his life also. And you can do the same thing that Jesus did right now. Remember what he said in John 14:12-13? Greater things than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So all we need to do is take our place, and we use his name to heal the sick, because his death was not in vain. His promises are going to be fulfilled. His sufferings are not going to be in vain, because we stand complete in his completeness, filled with Jesus' fullness. We are filled with his holiness. His grace is ours. Hebrews 4:14-16 is a reality in all of us. It says, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Christianity is called the Great Confession. Your confession is what you are in Christ. And all that we have to say to us is a reality. You hold fast to everything that you confess. And the adversary, the enemy, is going to try to make you deny your confession. He's going to make you try to confess anything but what you are confessed in Christ. He's going to try to make you confess weakness and failure and want. Don't do it. Just confess the good report, always. We hold fast to that confession, because he said, my God does supply every need of mine, glory to God, Philippians 4:19. And you stand by that confession. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And you make that declaration, you make that confession that he is the strength of our life. We need to say it out loud, until we get accustomed to hearing it and believing it. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It says were healed. You already been healed. 2,000 years ago, we were all healed. We died unto sins with Christ on that cross. You rose to walk in righteousness, and by his stripes, glory to God, you are healed. When Jesus arose from the dead, healing belonged to you. So we need to hold fast to our confession in the face of every assault of the enemy, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We walk in the way of righteousness. And that just means acting and living as though the word was spoken to you by Jesus himself. That's the way to victory, folks. That's the way where you cast out demons and disease in the name of Jesus. Every disease that has afflicted a Christian could have been healed if there had been anyone who had dared to walk in righteousness for that believer, who would have dared to walk in the fullness of his privileges in Christ. The devil could have been driven out, and healing could have been his right then. Hebrews 4:15-16, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace. Folks, we're invited to come now, right now, to the throne room and sit with the Master and with the Father. And all we need to do is come boldly. We don't come crawling in. We don't come creeping in. We don't come in confessing our sin, bewailing and weaknesses and our failures and all of that garbage. We put on that new garment. We dress fittingly to appear before the throne because we are sons and daughters of God Almighty without condemnation. And you know what? What you'll find is mercy and grace to help us in the time that we need. Amen and amen. Glory to God. All right. Well, there's Pat. Hey, buddy. By the way, that came from, a part of that came from, the new, E.W. Kenyon, some of his stuff. With some of mine too. About half and half. All right. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any prayer requests? Anybody got anything they need? Because God is here. Yeah, go ahead, Katie.
So this Sunday, Tim is giving a message at the place that he's at on Hope. And so that's exciting in itself. But his mom has not talked to him in months since, pretty much since he went in to get help, because she just is so done with the back and forth with the addiction and just things that had happened during his last relapse. So she had a lot of unforgiveness towards him. But I was talking to her yesterday and I had mentioned that he was giving this message and she seemed so like intrigued. And she was like, when, like, can people go to it? And so long story short, she's going to go and she's going to listen to him preaching this Sunday. And he, the last time I talked to him, he was like, oh, my mom's never going to talk to me again. Like, you didn't see the look that she gave me the last time that she saw me. And I just had like a feeling in my spirit of that soon they were going to be reconciled. And I believe God's working in her too, because she, I came over there like a month or two ago and she was like, Katie, I got to tell you something. And she said she's always believed in God, but like the Catholic kind of upbringing. But she said for the first time with just everything that was going on in her life, she got really frustrated at God and just was really angry at him. And then she said the next day there was a gift card that appeared out of nowhere on her desk. And it's not even possible because she just moved into a new place. And this gift card, she said she hasn't seen in years. And she had accused Tim of stealing it years ago. And it was like a big contention between them. And it just appeared out of nowhere and it was full and she was praising God. She said she just knew it was the Lord. So he's been doing something in her. So I pray that this weekend when he, or when he's preaching, that she hears not only the change in him, but that she hears something that he says that gets to her heart and that God really just gets a hold of her, because I've been praying for that whole family and I really believe God's going to do something because the change in Tim is just so, so miraculous. Like, she doesn't believe it yet because, you know, she said, oh, he's done good and then bad and good and bad. But I'm like, this is so different. Like, I have a completely new husband. I don't know who he is. Like, I don't know who that old Tim is. This is a completely different than just, oh, he's doing good. Like, this is a new creation in Christ. So I'm excited for her to see this because it's undeniable when you see it. Like, he's different in every single way. So if you guys could just pray in agreement with me that she will be impacted this weekend and that they will be reconciled and that it will just be beautiful and that the Lord will be in all of it.
Amen. Well, Father God, we lift up Tim right now to you, Lord, and we thank you that his mama's not going to see Tim. She's going to see Jesus. She's not going to see anything but Jesus, the light of Jesus coming out of him. Oh, my. Thank you, Father. She's not only going to see Jesus, she's going to repent and come back to you, Lord, in a mighty way. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Tim's mama. and making this reconciliation a great, wonderful thing for both of them. And I praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Anybody else want to pray? Boy, I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit's all over. It's all in here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you go look for a miracle because it's going to happen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Katie's mom and her husband and her. That this is be the start of a brand new Jesus-loving family in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Benita.
Lord, and we just pray that you just give her that revelation that Michael was just talking about, Lord, that we just, that she will come to just believe no matter what she sees, you know, no matter what up or down happens or come, that's not happening. We just believe it. We believe and we stand firm, and she's going to learn that. She's going to get that revelation, and she's going to know, she's going to know the real Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I know this, Katie. You're fixing to have a grand testimony here next week.
Amen. I believe
it.
God. I believe
Glory
it.
To God.
Especially because before Tim and I were even married, God was showing me so much. And one of the things that he showed me was a vision of my parents, his brother's girlfriend, and all of us were in a circle, and we were hand in hand praying. And it was so beautiful. And I was like, whoa. And I've always held on to that and believe it. Like, his family really needs the Lord. And I'm excited. I'm excited for just reconciliation in every area.
Amen. What Tim's coming back to the Lord is the catalyst for this whole thing.
Yes.
It's going to be, it's going to happen. Lord of God.
I believe it. I believe
sooner,
it.
Sooner than later.
Yes. And when they see him, like, it's just, it's undeniable. Like, I, his dad's seen him, and I can see on his face, his dad is like baffled. Like, who am I talking to? Because he's so different. It's amazing.
That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Ooh, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's pray for Jesse. They're going to try to do one more surgery. They're going to do one more surgery on him. That's going to be the last one he ever has, in Jesus' name. And then he's going to go home with mom and dad for the first time. And he's going to stay home, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for guiding the doctors into doing what you want them to do. And I praise you for doing that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that during this surgery, that you take over and do everything that has to be done, that needs to be done. I don't know. I don't really even want you, them cutting on him, Lord. I ask that you just completely heal him. Not only ask it, I command that Jesse be healed in Jesus' name. I command every corpuscle, every cell in his body, every organ in his body, every tissue in his body, everything in that boy be healed right now in the name of Jesus. The name that's above every name. It's above every name in that hospital in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that Jesse is healed. And he's going to go home tomorrow. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. But to your glory, Lord, to your glory, because I know Marissa's going to give you the glory for it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. By his stripes, Jesse, you're healed. Glory to God. You already are healed. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. It's done. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Yes. Amen. Thank you for your miracle working power, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead, Geneva.
I'm going to add on to that. Lord, I thank you, Father, that Martha and Jared are going to stand in your boldness, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless them with your strength. And that, Father, they don't look at what they see or what their senses try to tell them, but that their senses align up with the word of God. And what they see and what they hear is only you and only what they've been reading. Father, I know they've been in their word. And, Lord, just give them boldness, Father. Give them your boldness, Lord, to stand on it and to believe it. And I thank you, God, that this baby is healthy and he is strong and he is perfect. Lord, nothing that you create is not perfect. It's your creation. He is a perfect baby. And I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that Jesse is going to grow up big and strong, and he's going to have the most beautiful testimony. And I just praise you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing them to produce fruit during this trial. And God, thank you for long suffering during this trial. And Lord, I just pray that this trial, they learn what they got to learn, and it come to an end soon in Jesus' name, and that they get to take this baby home and forever share your glory with everybody about what you've done in Jesus' name.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We believe it. Jesse, you're healed and whole in Jesus' name. Karabasi. Norabasata. Amen. Anybody else? Whew. My gracious sakes alive. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like praying a healing prayer for everybody listening and everybody in the fellowship right now. Glory to God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that right now that light comes on, their light, everybody that needs it, their light is allowed to shine, Lord of God. That right now, we speak freedom. We speak health. We speak healing. And Father, I thank you that you wish above all things that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Glory to God. And Father, today, everybody's minds has prospered in the word that we gave out a while ago. Their bodies also should show this prosperity. And so we thank you right now that every bit of the work of the enemy has to cease right now in Jesus' name. That right now, in Jesus' name, sickness and disease, I command you by the name of Jesus by the authority behind that name, that you will bow your knee, that you will cease your efforts and cease your work against these people, everyone that needs it, right now, because their bodies belong unto Jesus himself and not to you. You're a trespasser. Then I hereby evict you and command you to go and never to return again. And now in the name of Jesus, right now, everybody within the sound of my voice that has any ailments in their bodies, in their minds, right now in Jesus' name, by the authority of that name, we set you free. Right now, those addictions, those habits, those actions, they stop today. Sickness and disease stop today. Right now, we speak and command sickness and disease to die, to leave their bodies, so that their bodies will experience that healing and divine health of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the name of Jesus, right now, I say, be free, be healed, and be blessed in Jesus' name. Right now, pain go, sickness go, in the name of Jesus, right now. Now, I'm going to ask you, to everybody listening, whatever you couldn't do a while ago, begin to do it right now. If you couldn't do something, if you couldn't raise your arm, raise your arm. If you couldn't walk, walk. If you couldn't bend over, bend over. Do anything that you couldn't do a while ago, do it right now. If you can't do it any more than move it just a little bit, move it a little bit. Do what you couldn't do. We command. I speak to you right now, and I command your body to function correctly. Every organ, every cell, and every tissue will respond right now to the voice of the Word of God. Glory to God. And I command you to be healed, everybody, in Jesus' name, right now. Glory to God. Everybody within my voice is healed and made whole by the words and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. I praise you, Father, that everybody within the sound of our voices right now are healed and made whole and free from any kind of demonic oppression in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Woo! My, 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 my. Thank you, Father. Boy, the Holy Spirit just filled my room. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I thank you for blanketing everyone out there. It's you, Lord. You get the glory. It's you, Lord. It's nothing that any of us can do but just to have faith for you, Lord. And I praise you for it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It is done. My, 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 my. Thank you, Father. Ooh, I receive it myself. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Deliverance is done. Healing is done. Sickness is gone. Disease is gone. Mind-bending spirits are gone. All things not of God are gone. We speak it in the name of Jesus. And that's the name that's above every name. In Jesus' name. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Whoa, we praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Bye, 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 bye. Thank you, Father. I can hear a net landing out there on the roof right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I thank you, Father, that DNA restoration is going on in everybody's life that wants it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. praise you, Father. I send the angels out right now to fulfill what we've just prayed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my, 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 my. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, I feel like we've had church. Glory to God. Not church, fellowship. How's that? That's better. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got a testimony? Just confess you're here. Keep confessing, thanking the Lord for it because it's done. It's done. I know it, my spirit. I know it's done. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. You're such an awesome God. You told us to speak faith and to believe it. I do. And I believe everybody here does too. In Jesus' name. And we're not only believing for ourselves and for everybody here, we're believing for those that are listening also. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, Missy, go ahead.
I kept yawning the whole way through that.
I saw them demons. I'm just kidding you.
I don't believe that it was just for me. I believe it was for everybody.
I believe it was too, Missy.
Yeah.
I sure do. I believe it was.
Lord. Praise you,
Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I'm also going to pray this. I want to pray this. Lord, just place that in my heart. Lord, I thank you for new revelations every time we open the word up that we understand it's coming from you. That you're right there talking to us right then. We open up that word, we know that you're talking to us. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, boy. I'm telling you, there's electricity going everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. What y'all want to do now? Thank you, Father. Anybody got a question about anything in the Word of God? Or about quantum faith? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pat.
I was listening, obviously, to those messages, and very, very inspiring, but and thought provoking, I have to say. And I ended up in Colossians, and I just want to read, if it's all right, I'll just read a couple things there. I hope I don't take up like a lot of time, but this, I went there for, the thought that was on my mind was in Colossians 3:4. And it says, when Christ, who is our life, or Christ, our life. I'm in the ASV, by the way. So I don't really know what the NET says, but it's interesting. It says, when the Christ, our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. And when I got to thinking about that, and so I just started reading from the beginning, and it so fits with what's being taught now. In Colossians 3:1, it says, if then ye were raised together with the Christ, seek the things which are above, where the Christ is seated at God's right. Set your mind on the things above, not on those things, or David and Michael always say, things is not in the Greek. So it says, set your mind on the above, not upon the earth. For ye died, and your life is your life. There's, if you're reading in the numeric, there's an asterisk there before that word. Ye died, and your asterisk, the life. You know what? I wasn't going to do that, but I want to read. I had to go back and kind of research what that meant. Okay, I'm gonna read this from the book itself, because in the front there's a preface there that has some notes from Ivan Panin. And I was looking at, why is that asterisk there when you read those? And he has something kind of interesting to say there. He says, the definite I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. I should have looked into this. Make sure I was on the right page. Well, you know what? Maybe the Lord didn't want me to share it. So I'll just let it go. But there's no word there for there, but there is something in the Greek that accentuates that. And it's like when you see that asterisk, you can put the in there or something in there. And even though he said I wish I could remember what he said, but he said, because he doesn't know what it is there for other than making a point. The point is to draw our attention to that particular word. And so he puts an asterisk in there for that, so that when you read it, you stop and you put you accentuate the the word. I'm sorry. I wish I should have looked that up. I wasn't even thinking about it. But anyway, he says, for ye died and your life is hid with the Christ in the God. When the Christ, our the life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which cometh the wrath of God, wherein ye also once walked when ye lived in these. But now do ye also put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new, who is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. And then the I guess the unfortunate or maybe fortunate thing about reading Paul's writings is you can't ever stop. You just, one thought leads to the next, lead to the next, etc. Down in verse 15 or 14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or completeness. And let the peace of the Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also ye were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing yourselves with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with grace, singing in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, thanking God the Father through him. Actually, I didn't really mean to read the whole thing, but again, Paul is kind of that way. But as I was thinking about these timelines of faith or timelines of unbelief, and I got I guess if I had a question, it may be something like this, that when Moses, I think a picture of these timelines, kind of a type, is Moses taking the children of Israel out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and then they went through the wilderness. And that wandering through the wilderness, of course, took 40 years until that old generation died. And then they went, crossed over in much the same process, crossed over into the promised land to take the promised land. And it was almost a type. I guess a question that I would have would be, that wilderness is a necessary aspect of all of our lives. All of us, we all have to go through the wilderness in order to, become aware of those areas within our soul and learn to put them down, consider them dead, and fight those battles of the soul. Just like Colossians 1 says, if then you were raised together with Christ, and we all were, seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So I'm assuming, I'm sure that God leads us into the wilderness, putting this focus upon our mind, that when we go through the wilderness and we engage the wilderness via the timeline of faith and belief and trusting in his word, and we overcome in that wilderness, I'm only assuming that the path in the wilderness does not necessarily need to take 40 years. I say that in type. I guess what I'm saying, what I'm thinking is that though the wilderness is an important and absolute essential place in our life, one of the problems that the children of Israel had is that they rejected God. They resisted. They were in unbelief through that process there. And therefore they wandered around the wilderness for that 40 years. So what is my question? My question, I guess, would be, when do we know we're at the end of the wilderness and ready to move into the promised land? So whatever. That was all I had to say. Maybe that was my final question. Sorry.
Well, when you get through the wilderness, you'll know it. You'll be looking like Jesus. You'll be that light on the lampstand. Glory to God. Amen. All right, anyone else? I saw where they're talking about those columns. When they go before a word, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me. All right, anyone else got something they'd like to share or would like to talk about? We still got 40 minutes. Yeah, Benita, how you doing?
Hi, there I am. I'm doing great. I had a question. In Job 1:1, wait, I gotta get there. I was on Colossians 3. Hold on a second. Job 1. There it is. Oh, sorry. 1:6 is where I'm going. So I'll just read it. It says, now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord that Satan also came along with them, came among them. So, Frank and I were talking about the Nephilim and the sons of God and the daughters of men and that. And I was sharing David's perspective on it. And he wasn't, I don't know, he wasn't quite buying it. He's kind of setting what he had heard before. So one of the things that was brought up was this verse, and just, you know, when it talks about the sons of God here, I know, you know, in the New Testament for sure, sons of God's referring to believers. But when they're talking about it here, are they talking about angels or are they talking about man? Because they're presenting themselves before the Lord, which I don't know how a man could do that.
This man. Go ahead, Missy. Are you good? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, I had, Michael answered your question, but I had a comment or question, I guess, ask you. David has an article on the site. Are you aware of it about that?
Yeah, that's what I shared with Frank.
Did you read it to him or?
I did, yes.
Okay. Well, he probably needs to read it himself. And, see if he'd be willing to read it himself and look at all the scriptures. Because to me, David just blows that whole false teaching out of the water, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you when, you know, it's like angels can't reproduce. And, you know, that's very clear. It seems like, why would you even question that? It's clear. It says that in the Bible.
But he doesn't have a Dakes Bible, does he?
A which Bible?
Dakes, D-A-K-E.
No.
Okay, good. Because it has all that garbage in it.
Oh. No, he was listening to or reading other commentary about it. And, you know, the main thing that most of them say is that it was the angels that reproduced. And but then, you know, the other one that I was sharing with online, it shared that point of view, and then it also shared the point of view that it's the line of Seth or the sons of God, and the line of Cain were the sons of men.
Yeah.
The way that David explains it. And so both perspectives were in that article. And then I shared David's whole article with them. And then there was a couple. So I didn't hear what you said, though, Michael, when you said about the sons of God here in Job 1. I missed that.
Job 1:6.
Yeah.
That came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. The sons of God, just like Missy was talking about, it's the sons of Seth. That's God's people.
So it's actual human men.
Yes.
Men presenting themselves before the Lord.
Yes. Yes, it is. You can read that article. David's got it. Man, he explains it real good. It's been a while since I've read it. It's not that long, is it, Missy? I don't think. Well, Vanita, you said you read it, didn't you?
Yeah, I read it, and I understand it, and I agreed with it. One thing that I had read was saying that in the Old Testament, they refer to angels as sons of God, and in the New Testament, it's talking about believers, any believer being son of God.
No.
And so...
Angels are angels. They're not sons of God. They're a different type of person, a different type of being, actually.
Right,
They can't cohabitate.
So I guess I don't understand in this passage how is it that the sons of God present themselves before the Lord?
I do it every day.
Well, and then I guess right after, amen. So, but right after that, it says that Satan also came among them. So I guess spiritually he's always there.
Satan also came among them. Yeah.
I guess it, to me, it's just very physical. Like they are standing right in front of him.
Yeah. Well, it's spiritual. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what comes to me, you know, Satan came among them. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's exactly what he was doing.
That's, he done his job, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Andrew.
In verse 8, I guess maybe God was getting a little tired of Satan doing this. Have you considered my servant Job? And he was going to use this particular point in time to even fix Job at the end. So here's the Son of God, Job, for being already there, because he's considering him, so he knows about him, and he's probably going to accuse him to God, because he knows what's going to happen before he tries to do it. So this is something I think that shows you that. But as for you must remember or know about the time when the Sadducees came to Jesus and tried to give him the story about the woman who had seven husbands, okay? And then it talks about the marriage there, and she doesn't bear any fruit to any of them. So that goes to show in there that when you read that verse, there's a certain item in there that shows that the angels can't procreate. Because men, after you, we get there, and women, won't be making babies anymore. And,
right.
And I'm sure you remember that, because that's also written in there. Yeah. I can't remember the verse offhand, but it's there. Anyway, praise God.
Maybe. Angels were made to help us, not to procreate with us. They can't. They can't do anything like that. They're created beings. And I'll tell you something, they're doing a wonderful job too. They can do, if you've been listening to David, you understand what the angels have been doing for us here. This is just amazing. And they won't, the thing about angels, they won't go outside of God's will. You can ask them, you know, well, can you do this? Nah, can't do that. Well, can you do this? Oh, yeah, we can do that. Yeah, Missy.
A couple good verses. And I think probably David shared these in the articles. But anyway, I'll just reiterate. In Hebrews 1:5, it says, for unto which of the angels...
Wait a minute. Wait till we get there.
I'm sorry. Hebrews 1:5.
Okay. All right, I'm there.
Okay. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. I don't know where this one is at, but there's another one that says, it's in the in one of the Gospels. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And another one is Genesis 3:20.
Okay.
And the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living.
Oh. So everything that is born came from Eve, a person. God's flesh and blood.
That's a good one, Missy. When you really think about it, everything came from Eve and not, and I also brought up to him, you know, we're each after our own kind. And that's, you know, angels are a different kind than dogs and cats and cherry trees, you know.
Yeah, they're a different breed. Yeah, Julie.
Andrew brought up the one scenario there about the woman who had, well, the brother who had, there were seven brothers and none of them were able to bring forth the fruit. And it's like they're, when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage because they are, but are as angels in heaven. There's just no way that can, angels are, don't do that. They don't have that ability. They're not physically made that way. So like when we die in our resurrected bodies, we're not going to have that ability either. As a spiritual body.
Yeah.
They're spiritual beings.
Yeah, Andrew.
You know, sometimes I wonder if we're dealing completely with a different religion here, because the ancient Greeks had Hercules, and he's the offspring of Zeus, I think. I don't know exactly, but they had sons that were, I think they called them demigods or something, and so, you know, there's a lot of movies out nowadays about this kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, it's not at all that. It's kind of very easy for a person to pick up some of these things because of what's in society. You know, like, I forget the movies, Percy Jackson and I forget what it was called anyway. I threw out all those movies. You know, especially like if you're going to watch a movie like Stargate SG-1, you know, at least they got it right, that a snake invades the person's body and takes over his body. So that's getting pretty close, you know. So we don't want to be invaded with any words that are, perhaps a word that's a synthesia, an accident. Yeah, that's the way I'm going to put it. Because sometimes when you're unaware of something and people start speaking accidents, then a dissimulation is another good word. Cause I think that's a dissimulation and an accident, a synthesia, you know, like, if we want to be success, Eodia and synthesia, then, we can definitely say that a man is always going to have a synthesia. And the Lord's going to have the success, the Iodia. But we sometimes have a dissimulation or an accident. Of course, when Peter had his dissimulation, it was because he was very interested in saving the Jews there in the book of Acts. So I'm not bringing up anything of good. Anyone who may have had any sort of calling by God for salvation. Praise and glory to God.
you said some words there that I didn't understand.
Well, you know, someone might be a Baptist here and he may have received the Lord and he may be called, but he just needs a lot of correction from the Lord. I can't correct anyone. I can't make anyone bear fruit. I can't twist their arm to believe. You know, we're supposed to be bound to the Lord's word, you know. What does it say there in Isaiah 8 and 16? That's 3 8s, by the way. 8 and 8 is 16. It says that we have to be bound to the Lord, where the Lord ties you up. You know, in that verse in Isaiah 8 and 16, I forget how it goes. I'll have to look at it. It says there, in Isaiah 8 and 16, bind thou up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And disciples is a very unusual word for the Old Testament. And if he's going to seal his law upon you, then it's going to be sealed there by the fulfillment of the law, which is the grace, because that's what Jesus came for. So that's why I say these things, that the Lord knows how to correct things in people, and he can even save people too. So, because he does it all. We are used by him for these things. If we're going to get bound to that verse that I just said and sealed to it, then we're going to be bound and sealed in it. And we are bound and sealed in it because Romans 6:22 says so. You're free from sin, enslaved to God. So God ties you up into his word, because living is the word of God in action. That's one of the verses that's in some of the very old teachings that David Eales used to talk about. He also used 7 and 14 of Isaiah. So, praise God. I know it doesn't have anything to do with it, but we want people to be corrected by the Lord. We all had to go through it, so everyone else has to too. Praise God. Glory to God.
Where does that word Nephilim come from? Yeah, Andrew.
I think it's in Genesis. It might be the King James Version.
Genesis 6 and 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what does it mean? According to Strong's, it doesn't mean anything what they say it means. That's what I'm asking.
I can perhaps leave that for someone else to answer.
Well, I can tell
you what it is.
In the King James Version with the Strong's, it says that is Strong's number H5303, and it pronounced in the Hebrew Nephil. From H5307, properly a feller That is a bully or tyrant or giant. That's what it says about it there. And let's see. Of course, in the ASV, it says the Nephilim were in the earth in those days. Well, that's interesting. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, they found some of these big fossils of people, and it could be what the Smithsonian Institute uses as an excuse, mapped into what some of the people are saying too, because about the false understanding of that word. And even though it's right there in the Strong's, as you said there, Michael. So I don't know what they're talking about other than the two lineages finally meeting, the lineage of Seth and the lineage of Cain. But don't forget, Cain had a few years on Seth. Seth was just a little baby, and I think it took him 90 years to be born. And Seth was a full-grown man already procreating. So this actually shows you that the greater population of the people that were on the earth before the flood were the sons of Cain. Because there's no way you can catch up to that population when he's just a little baby and he doesn't have any offspring yet for Seth. So. And like he says, when these two lineages are apart for so long, you bring them together and you get a hybrid. So.
Yeah. Cool. Why would you get a hybrid?
That's why I'm so tall. No. even in like, they were starting to notice problems in some of the royal families, that they had, all this, interbreeding and stuff in Europe. And, even in the days of Pharaoh too, when the Pharaohs were there, they were noticing problems with the next generation. If you don't, pick very distant people. So,
well, that's breeding anything.
Yeah.
That's why you have problems with purebred dogs. They go so far and then they start going backwards.
Yeah, they're always trying to find very different bloodlines. You know, they have to go sometimes, you know, all from Ontario all the way to California to find a dog for a certain breed of dog to get a new lineage of dogs so that the bloodlines would be very mixed, you know. And that's how they make a really purebred, I guess.
Well, what they're doing now, they're taking purebred from one breed and putting it to another one and calling it something else. And it costs just as much money as a purebred. Because of the lineage, if they've run out of room, they're getting stupid dogs. I mean, what do you get when you breed a Great Dane with a Beagle? Beagle Dane? I don't know, but it's, That's always been the case. It's when you've got a lot of interbreeding, you get some stupid people. All right. Anybody else got a question or an answer to the Nephilim? Yeah, I think that's a bad choice of words that they put in there. It just gives people cause to make movies, I guess. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I was just noticing that word is only used in the Greek, or in the Old Testament, it's only used 3 times. Actually, it's only in 2 verses. The other place where it's used is in Numbers. I didn't read back the context, but I think it was when they sent out the spies to spy the land. He said there were, and there we saw the giants, and that's it. The giants is that same word. And said, the sons of Anak, which cometh of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight, etc. So even in the, well, obviously in the time of, in the time that Joshua, I think this is Moses, was, no, this is Joshua, I think, sent the children of Israel out. I mean, the spies out, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I have to go back and read this, but anyway. But then I think of the situation with, you know, David and Goliath. He was a giant. So, are we talking about a different situation in Genesis 1 there? And maybe I'll have to go back and listen to those videos that Julie posted there. But are we talking about something other than, because obviously the ones in Genesis came to an end through the flood, I am assuming. I don't think everything, when it said all of everything living died, I'm assuming the flood, you know, corrected the whole situation. So how did Goliath then appear? Any ideas about that? Or is there some sort of connection in the bloodline or something with the original Genesis, you know, crew and the sons of Anak and all that sort of thing?
I give you David's answer. Could be. No, no. Could be. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, over there in Africa, there was these tribe of people. They were called the Maasai warriors, and they were all very tall people. And then there was these very short people from Cameroon. The Americans came and took one and put him in the New York Zoo and did something with him. So he was just a short guy, but he was in his 20s. And so I think it's just the people that are around them, you know, because some of these Maasai warriors were over 6 feet tall, 6'6", even 7 feet tall, some of them. And they were revered for their height. It's just that they had lots of tall people in that area. Also, in Lithuania, there was a king. He wanted everyone over six feet tall in his army, and he made a huge army with these people who were bigger than 6 feet tall, and that was just a lot of tall people in that area, and he would actually search out these people throughout all of Europe and bring them and recruit them in his army, just because he wanted to have these big tall people in their army to make it look like they were big. Another thing is Emperor Maximus, he was a tall guy too. He was very tall. You know, that's where you get the maximum on your stove oven. And you know, some of these things I learned from I think it was Ken Hoban or something that it sort of rubbed off on me, some of the things. But I just want the Lord to teach me what I'm supposed to know. I don't believe in denominationalism. No denomination saved me. No man saved me either. So, someone was used by God to bring me salvation, just like Jesus said. You know, I came to save, and someone who had Jesus in them came to save me. And sometimes Jesus will just do it by himself. People are having dreams and stuff and they get saved. It's really special today for some of them. Praise and glory to God. But you usually end up being led by the Lord after your calling. And for some people who didn't know actually anything, they had a lot of things to overcome in their lives. And it all ends up at the finished product is a person who has faith. And that faith, of course, is which is Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith starts with W and ends in S, which is in Christ Jesus. That's faith. And that's what it says in the scriptures. You're in Christ Jesus. Your faith is Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. Faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know? And that's the faith. That's what you got. And of course, that that grace that's given to you strengthens you too in Christ Jesus. And it strengthens you so that you could have authority in Christ Jesus. And that's why it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, because of these great and precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And that authority is because we are strengthened in the grace of God, in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And because we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand. And we're given peace also in 5:1. So this grace is what strengthens you. This grace is salvation is in Christ Jesus. It's part of your new armor that you put on, and your righteous garment. Yeah, the righteous shall live by faith, and this living is in Christ Jesus. So we're going to live in Christ Jesus. We have righteousness in Christ Jesus. We're getting married, so you got to wear a white dress. So you're clothed in a snow white garment. And you're in Christ Jesus that way, the righteous garment from head to foot, and we've got a breastplate also. And if we're bound in this garment, then we're bound in that Isaiah 8:16, which is 3/8. And 3/8 is good because 8 is to cut off the flesh. So that's by the authority of this grace that we have access to, wherein we stand, we, by faith, receive the grace to have the extra strength. But the strength of the Lord is a light that's in your temple. And this light shines with the other lights that are in there. It's fashioned after the old lamp that was in the temple. And This light of strength, the strength of the Lord, is one of the lights that I believe is in that menorah candle. And you're a child of light. So you have this strength. And the grace strengthens you, as it says in Romans 5:1. So this strength that we attain, the strength verse is in Second Timothy 2:1. So it's a command that the Apostle Paul is giving Timothy, but we're of the same lineage as Paul and Timothy. So that grace, strengthen yourself in the grace of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, and of course, it also says in 1 Timothy 3:13 and 2 Timothy 3:15 that the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith is what exactly it says there in the word, which is in Christ Jesus. And by that faith, we have access unto his grace. But this is going all the way back to your calling. And you have rest in that. You know, by this rest, you also got the promises. These 2 Corinthians 7:1, you know. Having therefore these promises, beloved, and there's a special reason why you are a beloved, and I don't think I really have to explain that. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit. And how do you do that? To cleanse yourself means you got to get some grace from God. And that's how you're strengthened. Strengthen yourselves in the grace of God. In the grace which is in Christ Jesus. And you're asking for this grace by faith. Because therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. And what is peace? The two are made one. That's making peace. And we know that what it says in Philippians, I think it's 2:13, that that God in both of you is going to do something. I can't remember the verse offhand now. And I'm just a little nervous here talking about this stuff. And so you know, it's really interesting on how some of that works. You know, this grace is all you can be in Christ, but it's also strengthening you as you become more shiny or more filled with fruit. Your crown is a bit brighter in the fruit of God, and you're saved. And not tricked by the world's word. There's a word on your right hand. If you're imitating your father, then on your right hand there's a word, and then on your left hand there's a word. And this word has a mark to it. It has a name to it. And there's authority in name. We know that it's the nature, character, and authority. And there's an image there too of what you are. And there is a with that word on the right hand, and there is a spirit there too, and it's holy, and you're promised holiness, and there is a life there too, which you're likened to in life. And you know, the people tell you get a life. Well, that's where you get it, at the right hand, a lifestyle. The lifestyle's there, and you know, you're going through the wardrobe on a pilgrim's progress at the same time. And it happens because you've all had some manifestations of this happen in your life. Even the verses you spoke in Colossians there. So we had to rest for that to happen. And the Lord is training us for what's about to come to pass. And you know all what I'm saying is true, because those verses are right in there. You know, if you read the very last part of 1 Timothy 3:13, faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And 2 Timothy 3:15, faith. How do you spell faith? W-H-I-C-H-I-S-I-N, Christ Jesus. And that's faith. And the grace is you're strengthened. In order to get stronger, you need to go to the gym. Like I was told about bodily exercise. No, you get strengthened by grace. Because that strengthens your body because you're growing up. You know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be older. Oh, I'm moving out when I'm 16, you know. But it doesn't work out that way because you end up staying at home because... And when you grow up, the interesting thing is you want to be that kid again. And there's verses for that, too. Because you have to become as a little child in this kingdom. Where which I think is a really good rest verse. Because, you know, there was nothing better when you lived at home and the bed was made, meals were made. You were kind of at a rest there, which is an allegory for the rest you're supposed to have with your father. And he is your father. Surely Paul the Apostle wouldn't ask you to imitate God as beloved children and to walk in love unless he was God the Father. And our Father, the first two words of the Lord's Prayer actually says he's your Father. And if you're to imitate him as beloved children, then you should walk in love. Anyway.
Amen. What time you got?
10 o'clock.
Thank you, Andrew. That was good. I didn't want to get this in before I shut the thing off. Is the tallest man in recorded history was Robert Wadlow. And the month before he died, he was 8'11", almost 9 feet. That's a big old boy. It's in kilos or centimeters is how much he weighs. I don't know nothing about that. But it looked like he weighs pretty good. I bet he can handle himself pretty good too, you know. But he was a young man when he died. He was born in 1918 and died in 1940. So he was probably 20 something years old. There were some that didn't get to that height, but that were close. So there were places where the genes messed up and they were going off. But anyway, Lord, we thank you for a wonderful evening today. And I thank you, Father, for all the people that got healed, delivered, and set free tonight. Glory to God. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Father, for blessing our day tomorrow. And, Lord, we thank you that, you're going to bless us all when we come back together come Thursday night. And we praise you for it. Father, full of turkey and ham, I'll bet you. In Jesus' name, Lord of God. All right, y'all be blessed, yeah?